TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to be talking about in this particular program about the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And we have to begin to put in our hearts and our minds and our homes and our ministries and our churches, everything that we do in our lives, the most important thing. And I like what Kenneth Copeland, when he goes out and ministers, he puts right in big, bold letters over where he ministers and says, Jesus is Lord. And that's just not some good idea. He's Lord.
That's right.
And Lord means he's over. You know, everything was created by him and for him. And it makes me think of Acts, the book of Acts. And I encourage you, this is a great time to begin to learn how we should act as the church, right? And the church at its freshest point, its newest birth point was the book of Acts when they're beginning to walk out, what you do, because Jesus is walking with them. The Holy Spirit is moving amongst them. They're dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, and it's just so important. And this is such an important program today, because you have nothing to fear, lest you don't know this Jesus, or lest you've taken his name out of the place it belongs. I think about the in Acts chapter 3, when you remember when. That Peter was walking in, Peter and John was walking in, not this John, and not that Peter.
He's pretty old.
Not that Peter.
Not that Peter. He is wearing a sweater today.
He is.
He is like a Mr. Rogers sweater
Peter
on.
And
beautiful
and
day in the neighborhood. But listen, they're walking along. They see this crippled man by the gate Beautiful. And this is gate, and the gate's called Beautiful. And this guy's asking them for help and alms and offering gift, charity. And they say this. They go, look at me. Right? Think about it. They say, look at me. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, he has this huge expectation. If I'm actually washing cars and somebody says, hey, you want me to wash your cars? And somebody says, look at me. You're expecting them to say, they're fixing to ask me to wash cars. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, when he looked to them, he had an expectation in his heart. He had a huge expectation in his heart. So he's looking at their eyes and they're speaking to him boldly. And then they say this, because he was asking for something that he needed, he thought he needed, but what he really needed was healing. And there's so many people today, you know, you're looking for everything, but what you really need, you need healing. You need deliverance. You need to have a peaceful life. And you're thinking, if I just get a raise, if I just get a better job, you know, if somebody just helps me out like so-and-so got helped out. That's how he felt. He's like, you know, here I am begging for money. I'm a crippled man. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. And so they looked at a situation and realized, he looked beyond what he was asking for and saw his need. But you have to understand that meant nothing outside understanding Jesus and the name of Jesus, because they looked at him and they said, listen, what you want, I don't have. And that's so important, because so many people think, you know, we need to develop our church and our ministry. We need to go out there and provide people for what they need. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And now all of a sudden we're just like some community organization providing people with what they need. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if it replaces what they need, what they ask for, if it replaces what they need, then we're doing them, we're going to leave them still crippled on the street.
Right. Their greatest need.
Yeah, think about it. If we were to take the same approach, if they would take the same approach that quite a lot of the church is doing today, you know, they would have actually said, you know, you just need to just get them some clothes and get them some food and let them tell them Jesus loves them. And, you know, they would have done that, which is great. But they looked beyond what he was asking for and they saw his need. And he had obviously given up some time back. But see, there's something about that they had in their heart that he didn't yet have in his heart, and many didn't have in his heart. The church was birthed. This is what they had. They had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And not only that they knew this Jesus. They knew this Jesus. And you have to understand, You have to understand that, getting feedback from over in the studio over there, that that understanding, you have to know this Jesus and have faith in him. And they knew Jesus. They knew him. They knew that they walked with him. They taught with him. I think it's the live feed coming into the studio. And they walked with him and they talked with him. And understand this, that it's not about knowing about Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. And they knew him. They knew Jesus. But think about that. They knew him. And they also could see and discern what he actually needed at that particular point. And not only did they know him, but they had faith in him. They knew who he was, that he is a God that heals all of our diseases, that Jesus' stripes, he took those stripes so we can be healed. They knew who he was. They didn't just know about Jesus. They knew Jesus, and they abided with him, and they had faith in this Jesus. They knew who his heart towards this man, and that he desires that everyone be healed and that everyone be saved. And so it wasn't just like, hey, there's a miracle happen right here. They knew this Jesus, and they had faith in him. And not only they had faith in him, but they had faith in his name. His name, the name of Jesus, in their hearts was the ultimate trump card to anything the devil can do to anybody. They had faith in the name and faith that comes through that name and faith that comes through Jesus Christ. That's what they had. They said, listen, we don't have what you want, what you're asking for, but we have what you need. And so all of a sudden they reached out their hands and they touched this man. This man received with a heart of expectation. They helped pull him up. And all of a sudden this man starts bouncing around like a pogo stick, you know, which is, I don't, you know, that's how, you know, with something like Jalen was healed at the airport when Steve had prayed for him and God healed him. And so this man's excited and he's jumping around and all of a sudden everybody begins to look at Peter and John as if they're the ones that killed him. Mm-hmm. And this is what they said. This is what they said in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And we have to understand this as the church because, you know, we're having faith in building programs. We're having faith in our organizations. We're having faith in all this different stuff, in men. But he said this in Acts chapter 3, verse the latter part of 12. He says, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness we have made this man to walk? And in verse 16, he says, listen, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this man that you see here today a complete healing. It's the faith in Jesus. And it's amazing how, if you look, that enemy has this all outright assault on Jesus. I mean, they will accept a semantic God. But in regards to Jesus, see, Jesus separates all the false gods from the true God. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, there's dunamis power in his name. Listen, his name came from God, the creator of the universe. Mary, his mother, who was not yet pregnant with the Son of God, heard from an angel that was sent from the face of God, you tell her she's going to have a child, and this is going to be his name. I have put so much stuff, so much power, and so much of who I am behind this name. When you just mention this name, evil folks going to jump up and get all frilly and, you know, funky and stuff because there's so much power in the name of Jesus. It's going to differentiate me from everyone else on the face of the earth because I'm going to give my son on behalf of man's sin, and I'm going to give him the name Jesus, but that name that I'm giving him before he even arrives in your womb is going to be so powerful that you can have faith in that name and faith that comes through that name and faith that comes through my son and his finished work because this is my desire and my heart for you. And to top it off, God even speaks to her husband, Joseph, in a dream and says, yes, his name shall be Jesus. And it's at the name of Jesus that every single tongue and will confess and every knee will bow. It's Jesus who sits in Revelation chapter 4 on the throne that's surrounded by the awesome worship and praise and saying, you are worthy to receive all glory and all power. Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame if religion held you captive and you spent your whole vapor here of 60, 70, 80, 90 years with all this loaded spiritual gun, if you would, that could just destroy the evil works of the enemy, and you never even used it once. Mm-hmm. And you walked around in fear and dread, not understand the power of the name and faith, and the name and faith that comes through Jesus will set that man free. If he has faith to believe, if he's expecting in his heart. And he was so touched, and everybody knew this man. He began to jump around, and all of a sudden people said, you know, what happened? And he's saying, listen, don't look at me. It's not my godliness. And how many people are like, yeah, you get my card. It's my godliness. I did this thing. Put me on your speaking circuit. Right?
Get my book.
Yeah. Get my book. Nothing against books. Pat read one.
Once.
Seriously, it's not to get your book. So think about it. And so here we are, and this world is just suffering right now. They're suffering, and they're crippled emotionally, physically, spiritually. And you say you have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and you don't even bring his name up. You're ashamed of his name in the workplace. You're ashamed of his name in the schoolhouse. You're ashamed of his name even at church, even at Sunday school. You don't even read your Bible that talks about how awesome he is and who he is, and you don't even abide with him. Think about this. What if you decided today, I am truly going to make, I knew Jesus, I know Jesus, but today I'm going to make him the Lord of my life. Today, his name is going to be above everything else in my life. I'm going to truly have faith in Jesus. His name that was given to him by God, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, that everybody's going to say, you are worthy of everything because you did everything. You created everything, and everything was created by you and for you. And you hold all things together. And then begin to exercise your faith and begin to deal with the enemy and walk in authority and begin to deal with the devil that tries to come in your marriage and your family and your workplace and your community and just deal with it. And sad to say, a lot of us are religious demons. And you got to deal with it too. Even people that are talking about Jesus, they forgot who he is. They don't know who he is. And so they're freaking out when you're actually talking in authority. But it's like, dude, I know you're talking about Jesus, but you're killing folks. That ain't good. You know, you're this ain't good. You got to, it's authority for folks. God is against the devil and his demons, and he's for people.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's right.
So he's not, he didn't cast people out and save demons. He cast demons out and save people.
That's right.
But you know, right? He's like, yes, Jiminy crickets. And understand this, we're going to break, but just so on fire with this. And that's Acts chapter 3. Begin to meditate on the power and get faith again. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. This is what the world is crying out for. This man thought he needed money. He thought he needed silver. He thought he needed gold. He thought he was stuck where he was stuck. But listen, they looked beyond his request and his asking, and they saw his need, and they knew that he needed to be healed. If he got healed by Jesus, and they did not direct the attention to themselves and showed them that actually it wasn't them, that it was Jesus that did this, and Jesus loves you. This man got saved. Let me tell you what happened. It so stirred a community, that one activity of the power in the name of God in Jesus Christ so stirred a community that thousands gathered to hear, how did this happen? Who did it? And guess what? They didn't preach a message on themselves. They preached a message of Jesus Christ, and thousands got saved.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I'm a supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFNTV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news. You know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or other's journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Little Lord Jesus, asleep on the...
I'm talking about the jail of jealousy and the guards of envy. The jail of jealousy and the guards of envy. So many people right now are locked up behind bars, literally, physically behind bars, because they were jealous of what that store owner had behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
They were jealous of what that man had in his house, his wife, and they wanted her. They wanted what someone else had. They envied it. They wanted it. They took it. And then Romans 13, 1 through 5 comes down to them like a just river from the throne of God.
Mm.
And they get locked up in jail. And so you talk to them and you say, you know, why are you here? He says, well, they say, I mean, I spent 10 years in law enforcement. That's what people say. They go, this is what the majority of folks say that are behind bars. They're still, while they're behind bars, blaming other folks for how they got there.
Mm.
I'm just so, I mean, it is so tiring.
Everybody. I mean, you just wait. When somebody finally breaks free from something, their first words out of their mouth will be justification that, somebody else is their fault. And then they'll begin to talk. But you know what? You cannot give forgiveness until you can take ownership for your own stuff. Because like, you know, yeah. I murdered 17,300 people. I incinerated 15,000 babies. But my dad beat me when I was little. And it's like, okay, you killed all them folks. You know, how does that, what does that have to do?
How did that?
And people go, oh, I understand why he killed a country. You know, it's like, no, you got to own that. You got to own that. And if you own it, God will forgive you. And jealousy, and it's like, it's so old. When you're in guarding folks in law enforcement, you know, I would actually just bring them to the hotel and leave that and check them in. And but they would say, they say I'm in here for this, or they say I'm in for this. You know, if this wouldn't have, if my wife wouldn't have, if my husband wouldn't have, if my VOP. Parents wouldn't have. Yeah. VOP. Let's move on. We don't have enough time for that. It would take the rest of the year to finish that out. Violation of probation. Oh, you're going to shut me down, man. You're going to shut me down. Why did you leave law enforcement? VOP.
Yeah, all right.
VOP. What's that stands for? Disassociation from my own crimes. Anyway, so, and that's the church, man. You know what I'm saying? And so here we are. And so what put them behind the bars, they were jealous. They wanted what someone else had. And you look at the definition of jealousy. It's feeling resentment against the man. Feeling resentment against the boss. Feeling resentment against someone because of that person's rivalry, success, advantage, stuff, things, whatever. Feeling resentment because of another's success or advantage, you know, characterized by or proceeding from suspicious fears and envious resentment. Mm. This is what happens when people get jealous. Like, what are you always talking? What's up with you? What is that spirit of jealousy flying around your head? What is that guard of envy keeping you, holding you back like that? Inclined to trouble. Troubled by suspicion and fears and rivalry. I mean, you're all upset inside, but you don't understand. That's a spirit of jealousy. That's a spirit of jealousy. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual dark things. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6:12. And so in the context of that, that's a spirit of jealousy. And let me tell you what comes to the spirit of jealousy. Murder. Murder. If you don't deal with that spirit of jealousy, and you think, well, I'm not going to kill nobody. And this is exactly what the Word of God says. If you hate your brother, if you're jealous of your brother, if you're hating on them, that's murder.
That's right.
That's equal to murder. Is it not? Am I not?
No, that's right. That's right.
So you're murdering your brother. You're murdering your sister because you're jealous of them. Mm. And it's amazing how green, brown grass looks from a distance. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to be a saint? Anyway, I'm just joking. Just let's move on. But the jealousy, and it's like, come on. Sometimes you can't even move anywhere. I remember my first act in ministry when I was asked to take on a particular ministry. This person comes up to me and says, oh, I'm so excited for you to be able to have this ministry. I'm thinking, like, first of all, when I was asked to do it, I'm thinking, are you sure?
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm from 3rd Street. I mean, do you really want me? You know, and of course, John Kilpatrick, Brother Kilpatrick, my spiritual father, kind of laughs at me, and he tells me he wants me to do it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why he wants me to do it. Mm-hmm. And but all of a sudden, somebody's going like, I want to help you. I'm like, well, this is so great. I've already got a cheerleader here, you know, and I'm gonna. And a long story short, I find out was, this person wanted what I got, mm-hmm. which I didn't even ask for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they wanted it so bad that they burned with jealousy and envy in their heart. And their mouth would run against me, and these things would happen. And it was just like, they would be publicly critical, and their heart would be critical. And also it's like, I thought you were my cheerleader. I thought you were helping me. I didn't want to take this in the first place. And another long story short, he died in his 30s.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Spent his whole life in that. And I was just, you know, I just didn't realize people envy folks. People want what you, people can be jealous of you. I mean, for example, you know, I'm sure Pat walks around going, I know people are looking at me and wishing they look like me.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's something.
John, I don't have that issue.
No, I don't have that issue.
It never crossed my mind.
It never crossed your mind. I saw it was written on your mirror in the, thing.
Oh, my. They're going to believe stuff. Yeah, no.
No, it wasn't written on the mirror. It was a chalkboard. But this is the whole thing is that people that strive so hard to look well, quite often they're driven by a voice that says they don't.
Mm.
And no matter how much weight they lose, no matter what kind of they do to their body, they still feel like they don't. But because of that evil thing driving them to do that, darkness comes in and causes people to be jealous of that because they want that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the devil's having a field day over the whole situation instead of people just being at peace with who you are and what God's entrusted to you. And it's like the church is locked up right now. A lot of the church is locked up. Believers are locked up in this jail of jealousy guarded by envy. I mean, there's even businesses called envy.
Mm.
That Christians say, I got a business. It's called envy. And it's like, it's like, don't wow. you just, and you, so then you have people going to these businesses and they go, man, I envy the fact that you got a chance to go to Envy. What are we doing? What are we doing? Of course, if you're not a believer, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, that understand if your business is called jealousy, it's probably not a good thing to do. You don't want to stir up hate, mm-hmm. right? That would be stirring up hate, hating on your brother. And so, but then you think about it, that he wanted what God gave me. That I didn't even ask for, and I did because I was asked to, and he was jealous. He wanted it,
mm-hmm.
and so it makes me think about when Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, man, and they were a lot like America, weren't they?
Oh my goodness!
And he's talking about it in Romans chapter 12. He says, verse 12, he says, the body, which is the body of Christ, is a unit, human body, though it's made up of many parts, though all the parts are many, they form one body.
Mm.
They form one body. For we were all baptized into one spirit, into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. You think about it. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged you.
Mm.
God has arranged you. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And you think about that. How important is that? That when you're sitting here thinking, I don't like what I'm doing and I want to do something else. And, you know, I want to be the preacher, I want to be the teacher, I want to be the singer. I mean, there's more jealousy and envy going on with that particular gift that's being stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, I don't know, you name it 10,000 different things. Instead of saying, you know what? The only reason I am anything is because God has put me here and mm-hmm. placed me here.
Right.
And the talents that he's given me, in the place he's put me here, and he's arranged me here. So for me to be discontented where I am and to be envious of where you are, then it's for me to be held captive by darkness and to be in rebellion against the arranger,
mm-hmm.
the supreme organizer of the body, right? Jesus That's Christ. Right. And so envy would cause, and the thing about it then, so when all of a sudden the eye goes, because I'm not a hand, then I'm not a part of the body. That's a lie. And what happens is, now the body stops seeing because you didn't do your job.
Mm.
You didn't, and the body stops walking because all of a sudden you think you're a foot, and because you're not an eye, then you're not a part of the body. You are a part of the body, but now it ain't going nowhere because you're not walking. And somebody says, what is the church's problem? Did you ever think it's because you are jealous of everybody else's call and position when you're supposed to be doing what you're called to do? Did you ever think about that? I mean, think about it. What if all the parts just functioned together? Mm-hmm. What if they all just started moving? It's like, this is who I am. I'm an eye. If you need to see something, come and get me. But I'm not a hand. Let me introduce you to the hand. I'm not a hand, but I'm an eye. I'm not a foot. I'm an eye. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine all the parts functioning together as God has ordered them and orchestrated them. Imagine how powerful it will be. This is what he said in Ephesians chapter 4. He's given the fivefold ministry to be able to do that, to be able to train God's people up to function in our place, in our role. And we need to listen to the fivefold. We need to listen to the apostles and the prophets that are saying, do this, function here. This is what God is saying. And just enjoy that place and realize this is who I am. But I just sense in my spirit that God's speaking to me right now. We can't go nowhere in the church in America because the church is jealous of people like Donald Trump. They're jealous of people in politics. They're jealous of people in the church. Mm. They're jealous of people that are being blessed and financially blessed in their own gathering. It's like, get over it. Get down to the cross and say, you know what, God, you've called me to be a hand, and I'm going to be a hand. I will not be envious. I will not be jealous, and I renounce that over my life, and I submit myself to you in Jesus' name.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet. Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports. I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So many people are in jail right this moment, right this very moment. And you can find out more on our previous program, the jail of jealousy and the guards of envy. Mm. I can't get to you. I can't get past the guards. What are the guards' name? Envy made envy. Mm. I am not envying. I'm just in turmoil right now. I'm in turmoil and I don't want your position. I hate you. Kind of like maybe, but I am praying for you.
Right.
And I don't mind being an eye. Go ahead and just give me another eye assignment. It's like, I want a hand assignment. You know, I want to sing. It's like, I know for a fact that Pat's not called to sing. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Absolutely not. Although he tried.
It's excruciating. It's excruciating. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, unless they're cranking up the orchestra really loud, as a matter of fact, I don't even know if, does anything ever come out when you're, it's like a silent worship. I'm trying to get, right?
Does the mouth move?
Where does peanut gallery come from?
Peanut gallery.
Say that again.
All right. It's like, you know, praise God from whom all blessings come. It's like this.
Lip singing?
I don't know. Hey, we need to. He has a whole audience now looking over here. That was funny. But you never, sometimes you have to be careful. If you love your brother enough, sometimes you don't need to sing in his ear, right?
Oh. Even the proverb says if you bless someone early in the morning, they may not like it. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know that you make a joyful noise before the Lord is also important as well. But yeah, we're talking about the jail of jealousy. Believe it or not, it could boil down to one simple thing, how we could fix the confinement issue in America. We can fix the confinement issue in America, in the church and the physical confinement. Mm. That 90% of the youth sitting in prison today, 90% of the youth sitting in prison come from fatherless homes.
That's right.
If you talk to that kid, talk to him or her, and we've talked to a lot of them, mm-hmm. and it's not in every case, but 90%, they would say, if they understood, they could see spiritually what's going on, and they could see that what the jails were jealousy, and that they could see the guards were envy, they would say, you know what? I would burn in my heart every night with envy that I wish I had a father like. And they would, you know, I wish I was so jealous of that family because they had a mother and a father and, you know, the whatever thing and all the devil just played that up. Mm-hmm. And so in that comes what? Hate and murder and crime. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and so you get onto me for the fruit that actually came from. You never helped me or my father be a father. You never helped my parents be parents. You never, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot to that. And so if 90% and 75% of all prisoners, at least 75% of all prisoners right around that area come from fatherless homes. First of all, I just want to say it's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. Mm. Just having the male species inside your house does not mean things are going to be all well.
Mm. You know? Don't get it twisted.
But if you're listening to the adversary, you know, about jealousy, then he's going to get you start comparing. And it's amazing how perfect a father is to you at a distance. And the thing about it, if he got close enough to you, he'd probably tell you to shut up, get a job, turn the lights off, and don't treat your mama like that.
That's right.
And so it's just fantasy. It's fantasy. The reality is you're going to answer alone before God, all by yourself. And he's a father to the fatherless. We can't say, well, this is the reason why I committed this crime. But understand this too. How is the world going to get free from jealousy when the church is held captive by the very same demon? Mm-hmm. You have pastors who are looking at the pastor up the street. And because he's got a different texture on the outside of his building. Mm. Because he has different color carpet.
Got a new sign.
Got a brand new sign.
A new podium.
Mm. And he's jealous of that. Or she's jealous of that. And envious of that. And all of a sudden, then he or she begins to preach against that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you just got taken down.
Yeah.
But then again, also, then you have someone who was in that same jealousy, and then they get the stuff. They get what they were jealous of, what they wanted. They did everything they can to get it. Power.
Mm.
Stucco. I don't know. Whatever it is. You know, in a theater near you. And now, you know, that's not a church. That's a graven image. That's an idol to you.
Mm.
You know, and you take pride now in what you were jealous of and what you thought was rightfully yours.
Mm.
And it's like, it's the gel of jealousy guarded by the guards of envy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not ushers. Those are guards. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right. And my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened mm-hmm. to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, mm-hmm. but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right.
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, mm-hmm. iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen,
right.
just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. Man, I got to tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And funny, I mean, it was hilarious and some of the things, but he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. He loved to cook everything in a pressure cooker. And he was out there at this place that I'm talking about. And he was cooking collard greens. He was cooking collard greens and on the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in and you seal it so tight that air can't get out of it. And if it does, it comes out of a small little area and it builds pressure up inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old-fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We had these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And all of a sudden we hear this kaboom!
Oh,
the explosion
no.
that took place. And we come running, you know, in there to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere. And he didn't have four hairs on his head. He had greens on his head.
There was greens everywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet, and he opened the lid.
He opened the lid while I was on.
And it went kaboom! Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust. You got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off. You take it over to the sink. You let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God. And then you open it. Because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But I thought it was just, that was, what's that?
Speaking of grandfathers, this is hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to shave. And he used
Your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with, he used to heat the can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can. And he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
What are you
turns
out of?
What do you
know? I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh,
let's get back to the story. Come on,
you're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can, but it's in hot water.
Right.
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave. Well,
yeah, it's shaving cream, hot shave. Mm-hmm. But the thing explodes. It can't explode.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink, in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up, and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere. Yeah. All over his face, all over his body. I'm trying to picture this. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, this is the grandfather that used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one you did that thing to?
All those things too. Amazing. It's amazing it bulge on in water.
Yeah, right.
We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down and all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster. The headboard
Prince of Peace. I'm just talking to you now. I'm just saying, listen, we should not be in how many people sit and watch these live programs today where people go with their singing gifts and different talents, and you can watch them, and they look on the stage as people get applauded for their gift, and thousands upon thousands look with jealous envy, wanting that, and you have people marketing that, hoping that people will want it so bad that they'll lay down money for it, right?
Every day.
And it's like, this is not who we're supposed to be. This is not who we're supposed to be. And so if you're ready to be set free, if you're ready to be set free from the gel of jealousy and break loose away from the guards of envy, you first got to say that you are. You got to say that I've been jealous. I've been wanting what he's got. I've been wanting what she's got. You know, I wanted their stuff. I wanted their life. I wanted a father like that. I wanted a wife like that. I wanted children like that. I wanted a car like that, a house like that, country like that, money like that, whatever. That was me. That's how evil it is, God. That's what I wanted. And then you say, God, I'm sorry. It's sin. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. God, forgive me for that. Forgive me for envying and being jealous of someone else's success or what I perceived was. And forgive me for that. Or forgive me for the envy in my life. And then you say, because God's forgiven you once you asked him, now it's time for you to break that stronghold over your life. Because you gave the devil authority, legal right to torment you now with envy and jealousy. Even though you're forgiven, you're still tormented by it.
Yeah.
He's forgiven you, but now you just can't stop being bumping against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like a wave just keeps hitting you. Where is this coming from? It's because you gave Satan legal right. Once you sin like that, you give him legal right. He has legal right to stand before God and show a contract that you signed with your own permission. You gave him authority to torment you like that. And he can go say, right here, see, they said it right here. God, you said if they actually do this, they become my slave. Whoever you obey is who you become a slave to. And so then you can say, now that you're forgiven,
because of Jesus, then you could say, I renounce all authority that I've given Lucifer. I renounce all authority that I gave Satan to be able to use this in my life. I bind the spirit of jealousy and envy, and I command you to go in Jesus' name, and I renounce all control and authority that you had over my life, and I break that legal right that I gave you, and I take it back in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He has no more legal right.
That's right.
And then break every soul tie, every curse, everything that's connected to that. And then walk free of it and realize that you don't want to do it again. And begin to bless those and be grateful for the blessings in people's lives. And understand, ever how you are, God's positioned you. Whether slave or free, Greek or Jew, I mean, understand we're just one body, we're mm-hmm. one people. And imagine the prison would just pour empty out.
Mm-hmm.
But what, you know, what guy who doesn't know God is going to say, this big, burly, 300-pound, roided man who's been trying to become something he's not, why is he going to say, man, I envied you all my life. I wanted to be you. When you've been seeing the opposite thing, you've been mm-hmm. seeing, like, you've been hating on me.
Mm-hmm.
You've been talking bad about me. You've been trying to take me down, you know, and he knows all that stuff was going on from his behavior. It's going to be real tough for him to humble himself outside of God and say, really, I was just jealous of you. And this is the difficult thing that for us to really get, that people can be taken down and they can be jealous of you whether you know it or not. So you don't just assume nobody, that there's nothing that God has given you that people don't want. I mean, you can be naive and you can be, you know, feeding into this frenzy by just ignoring the fact that you're waving this gift around, thinking like it's no big deal, or this whatever around, money or finance or mm-hmm. whatever, and you're stirring up carnal desires in people's hearts. You know, it's like, I don't know, you're singing, where you're going, you're like singing, and you know that person struggles and they want that kind of mm-hmm. place or whatever, and you, every time that you're just stirring it up,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or you walk around looking like, you know,
Adonis, you know, and
oh, wow.
flexing and
Adonis,
you know, Jiminy. World Atlas. People get the envious, you know, they say, wow, Pat, how do you do that? In fact, let me just confirm. No.
wasn't that Hagar? You're quiet now. Anyway, so you know we're joking. Everybody can see your television.
This is obviously joking.
We're just joking.
Mm. Come on.
I guess we're envious. Lord, forgive us. No. Oh, look at that. Oh, no.
Okay, pride.
No. I'm not. I don't want. No, I'm fine. Fine. The understand though, he's not going to do that outside of. That's why you got to preach the gospel to him. And by the way, you need to live the gospel before him, and understand that if people struggle with envy and jealousy and that type of thing, you don't, I mean, titles don't mean squat.
Please.
It is so crazy. Titles, out titles to people who struggle with envy and jealousy is like passing out crack at a crack house.
For real.
It's just like, I got to do this very carefully. These guys are addicted to titles, and it means so much more to somebody who struggles with jealousy and envy than it actually does to somebody that understands that leadership is a position to be, is a burden to bear.
That's a responsibility.
Yeah, there's
it comes like, with expectations.
It comes with expectations and the fear of God. If it's in the church, to understand that God's going to hold you accountable for that.
No doubt.
And so this is a serious thing right now, because what you have is you have a Alinsky's children stirring, Lucifer stirring up jealousy, envy, strife. Saying, you know, you deserve what they have.
Mm.
You know, that's your house. That's your car. That's your money. That's your, you know, and stirring this whole thing up. And it's stirring up that envy and the jealousy and the strife. And let me tell you something, church. Maybe it's happening that way in America because it was in the church before we even got out into the streets.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my car you're driving.
Yeah, they actually did. They had people, they were telling people, you know, to stand on the street and yell out, the car's passing by.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, you're in my car, get out of my car or something,
crazy.
Give it back or something. And it's like that fueling that that jealousy aspect of it. And you're fueling hate.
Yeah.
Because it's the gel of jealousy. So they'll spend their life in confinement. And most of this is what really happens with the jail of jealousy. It's secret confinement. It's secret confinement that takes you out like the man who wanted what I was given and didn't even ask for until he gets snuffed out. And the only person that really knows what happened there is God. He knows that that person burned with envy and jealousy because they wanted something that you had and you didn't even know it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.